That was the wife and sister-in-law of Shelley McInnes. Wynn, she is the wife of Constable David Wynn, who is in critical condition tonight in hospital after being shot after an altercation in St. Albert this weekend. It's believed that what she was referring to there is that she's going to make the choice tonight to probably take her husband off of life support, which is just a decision that I can only imagine how difficult it would be. Back in September of 2000, Marianne Pope had to contend with a similar decision. Her husband was Constable John Petropoulos. He was killed in the line of duty. He was a CPS officer in Calgary. He fell through a false ceiling. And Marianne spent the next decade writing a book about her experience and a play that made its premiere earlier this year. It was called Savior, A Tough Love Story. And I just wanted to bring Marianne on tonight to share, well, her own story and just to get a sense of how difficult that decision is. Marianne, I'm sure that was difficult to listen to. I appreciate you making the time for me tonight.
Yes, no problem.
I guess can you take me back to after your husband had fallen through that ceiling and now that he was in hospital and the decision that you had to make about taking him off life support, how does that decision get presented to you by the people in the hospital, and I guess how do you make that decision? It can't be an easy one.
Well, no, it's not. It's a brutally difficult one. It's obviously going to vary from situation to situation and person to person, and obviously the medical situation, right? It totally depends on that. But in my case, John fell through the ceiling, hit his head, and then he was resuscitated, and CPR was started by the officers on scene. So that meant that he was able to go on life support. They got him breathing again, so they got him to the hospital. So it was within 4 or 5 hours that he was pronounced legally brain dead, and then right then and there I was asked, whether I would authorize the removal of his organs for organ donation. So for me, it wasn't a decision of whether or not to take him off life support. That decision was basically made. John was brain dead. He had to be taken off life support. So my decision was whether or not to authorize removal of his organs. So John and I already talked about that before, so I knew that he would be okay with it. So then I was talked to some of his family on the specifics of which organs were acceptable and which ones weren't. And then, and we went from there. So I had the day similar to what Shelley and the rest of Dave Wynn's family and friends are going through right now. I had the day with, it was only one day in my case, but I had the day with John to say goodbye. So that's a very, very difficult time, to say the least. But it's also a very special time because you have a sacred time, I would say. You have a chance to talk to someone while they're still there. So on some sort of soul level, you can hope that they're hearing what you have to say and you have sort of a proper chance to say goodbye.
I know you wrote about the decision to be an organ donor mm-hmm. and I guess the impact that had on so many lives afterwards. And mm-hmm. I can only imagine that provided an incredible amount of solace to one in one respect.
Well, do you want the honest answer to that?
Sure.
Eventually it did, sure.
But not at
day
first.
Of, not so much.
No.
I'll be candid about this because I write about it, and organ donation is extremely important, and I wouldn't change my decision for anything. It was absolutely incredible. I mean, John's heart went to a 53-year-old man. It saved someone. He got his kidneys and pancreatic islets donated. He directly impacted the lives of 4 people. And it's absolutely amazing, and I think it's extremely important. However, I was 32 at the time. He was 32 at the time. And, one minute he's living, breathing, happy husband, and then the next day I'm just like, whoa, I don't want to give up his organs. I want him here. So it's a really quick turnaround for your mind to go, okay, yeah, I know he can't use them anymore, but it's time to share. And I mean, I don't mean to be crass, but it
is really... No, I totally understand. I totally understand.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. And deep down, of course, you know that's the right thing to do.
But in that moment, it's incredibly difficult.
Oh, very difficult. Very difficult because I wanted John there and I wanted John to have his own organs. So it's 32 is pretty young. So,
to be facing decisions like that, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, were you tempted to say no?
No, not at all. No, not at all. I just found that...
It was difficult.
Well, it was difficult, and it just didn't bring me a heck of a lot of solace right off the bat, but later, absolutely, it did.
Well,
you betcha.
Can you speak a little bit about that? About, I guess, the people that he helped to save?
Well, I don't know any of the details. They're pretty confidential about that. I worked with, it was an organization called HOPE, through the Foothills Hospital, and then we sort of kept in contact for a year, and they sort of, you know, keep you in the loop, not about the specifics of the people who received it. So I knew nothing about that. I only knew the age of the person that got John's heart and the specific organs that were able to be removed from John's body. So I sort of just kept with that. I didn't follow through any further to find out any more details. Honestly, that's just sort of the physical. I mean, that is important, but for me, the big journey was the spiritual and the emotional and the psychological, and of course, in my case, with the whole dealing with the practicality of John's death and the route that we chose to take with the John Petropoulos Memorial Fund for Workplace Safety.
And I'd like to ask about that in a moment, but first, I just wanted to reference something that... that Shelley McInnes Wynn brought up, which was the support of the RCMP community. Now, I know your husband was part of the CPS, but can you speak to that?
Absolutely, yeah. I totally understand what she's saying, and it is absolutely incredible. You know, right off the bat, the support was always there from the CPS for me. And I mean, it is a family, it's a brotherhood, a sisterhood, it's absolutely incredible. However, 14 years have passed, and that support has never ended. It's absolutely amazing. Some of my closest friends are John's police friends. It's just phenomenal. There's a bond there. It's a family, it's a support. There's a connection there that is just sort of ties that just will never break. And it is incredible, and it does provide a great amount of support, I think, for many reasons. But I think one of them is because police officers get what that sacrifice meant.
Yeah. So you know? I know you ended up moving away from Calgary to the island. But despite that distance, you still stay in touch?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially with the guys from the John Petropoulos Memorial Fund, yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know John's sergeant and some of his former teammates and coaches and stuff, and the partner he was with was a policewoman the night he died. I'm still in contact with her. So, yeah, absolutely. In fact, my relationships are probably stronger because I live out of town, so when I go back to Calgary, I get to reconnect with everybody kind of, you know, for a coffee or whatever, you know, here and there. But it's interesting. Sometimes when you live in the same city, you don't get to see people as often as when you go back and visit a lot.
I got to pause for a break. Do you want to hang around just for one more segment? Because I would like to ask a little bit about the fund and the work that you've done in the decades since.
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold. That's Marianne Pope. She is on the board of the John Petropoulos Memorial Fund and the author of a recent play kind of describing her journey since the death of her husband in the line of duty. It was called Savior, A Tough Love Story. We'll continue our conversation after a break. You're listening to At Night on the Chorus Radio Network. Welcome back to At Night. I'm Dan Riando. On the line with me is Marianne Pope. She lost her husband, Constable John Petropoulos, in the line of duty 15 years ago. Now we're coming up on 15 years. Marianne, thanks for joining me again. After he passed, you made the decision to create the John Petropoulos Memorial Fund. Why did you make that decision and go in that route?
Well, I didn't create it. some of the recruit classmates in John's recruit class with the CPS started the fund. Yeah, so what they did is they created these memorial fund pins with John, not memorial fund pins, but regimental pins with John's regimental 3125, and then sold them to police officers, friends, and family. And they raised about $10,000 right off the bat. Mm. So they asked me that when the dust had settled and I felt ready to, whether I wanted to work with them. So I said, yeah, absolutely. So a couple months after we started to go for lunch, there was like a core group of three police officers, and we started to talk about how should we do this and you know, should we put it to a scholarship, you know, for a criminology student or whatever. And then we thought, no, let's go after the actual issue that led to John's death, which was an unsafe workplace. So we sort of honed it right down specifically and decided, okay, let's raise awareness about workplace safety issues that are facing emergency responders and what the public can do to help minimize those risks. So we basically, you know, teach the public how and why workplace safety for emergency responders is so important. So, and we give them tangible tools, you know, safety railings and, you know, sensor lighting and all sorts of things like that. We have public service announcements and videos.
Right.
So anyways, it just came out of a lot of thinking and my early part of writing and talking to the police officers, and we just decided to take that route, which ended up being amazing because it helps, hopefully, so many other people, right? You sort of don't know what kind of injuries and deaths you're preventing,
sure,
the type of work you're doing. But we know right from the get-go, we all kind of decided, you know what, we're doing more than if we did nothing. Plus, it's interesting, we had a lot of discussions and stuff, and I mean, a lot of the times, as with the case with David Wynn, who has been, you know, shot and is going to pass away from a human,
yeah,
who was maliciously, you know, had malicious intent, right?
Yeah.
And we did not have that, and I was so thankful for that. So we were able to redirect what normally would be anger. We could redirect our frustration and our hurt. Yes, there was anger, but there was no one to be angry at. So
yeah,
we put it towards an issue instead. So it was really, we tried to make the best of a really lousy situation and redirect the hurt and all that frustration and everything that came from John's death to something sort of a little bit more proactive. So that's sort of why we did it. And then once we actually started to learn about injury prevention and workplace health and safety issues, it was incredible. We just worked with more and more partners. We got funding from, you know, WorkSafe Alberta and Alberta Center for Injury Control and Research, and just started really just getting into this public education side of things. And it's been amazing.
I'm short on time. I guess I would want to ask if you could go back to, you know, that night and talk to yourself or give yourself some advice in the way that maybe you could give advice to Shelley McInnes. Wynn, is there something that you would want to know, would have wanted to know then that you know now that you would want to pass along to yourself or to Shelley tonight?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the number one thing is you have to find your own way through, and, you know, faith, whether it's a belief in, you know, a higher power, or, you know, Shelley said that she has a belief that her husband will be in a better place. Those sort of things are really, really important, and you have to sort of figure out what you believe in really fast, and it's sort of an express course through faith, but that really is a big part of it. And also to reach out for the people, like the police, and in her case, the RCMP, and the family, and the support, and get, when people offer to help you, take you up on it, you know, take them up on it. Now, I did kind of all that, but I just sometimes wonder, maybe my grief kind of just went on and on and on. You know what I mean? I think,
sure,
if I could turn back the time, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what I would have done differently. I certainly wouldn't have changed my writing or the memorial fund, but I think I would have been a lot tougher with how I spent my time necessarily with all sorts of people in my life and everything. I kind of went in too many different directions at the same time, and maybe I should have focused on just, okay, let's get me better first,
yeah,
emotionally and psychologically. Yeah.
Oh, Marianne, I really appreciate this conversation tonight. I'm out of time. I'd love to get you back on again sometime, maybe talk about your writing as well.
Okay, well, listen, thank you. Take care.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye.
That's Marianne Pope, whose husband, Constable John Petropoulos, died in September of 2000. We got to pause for a break. You're listening to At Night on the Chorus Radio Network.